This is God's word for us. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" And the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Which commandment is the most important of all? Scribe asking this question for Jesus hadn't been present for the whole discussion. We can imagine the scene. Jesus has been teaching and talking and asking and answering questions with a crowd of folks. And this scribe kind of comes passing by and sees something going on and sidles up to find out what's happening. I've got a good friend who served as an advocate before entering into the ministry. And Alan will often say of himself, "I can't bear to see a good fight and stand by holding the jackets." Similarly with this scribe, he sees Jesus talking with a crowd and he's not going to pass by. He's not going to stand and watch. He has to jump right in. Which commandment is the most important of all? What kind of a question is that to ask Jesus? Is it some kind of trick question? Story is told of the Greek man who came to two famous rabbis round about the time of Jesus. And he said to them that he would convert to Judaism if they could teach him the whole of Torah while he stood on one leg. No, sorry, that's all the time you've got. A silly parlour game. Is that the kind of question, some trivial, irrelevant question? Perhaps we might be more generous towards the scribe. A serious question. Is it possible that there's one commandment greater than all the others? John Calvin described the answer of Jesus as the two hinges of a door. A door without hinges is just a piece of wood stuck in the middle of a wall. A door with hinges which don't work is not worthy to be called a door. A door, to be a door, needs to swing and open. But the whole operation of that swinging and opening depends upon the hinges. The whole weight of the door has to be carried by the hinges. In the midst of it swinging, when it's open, nothing else, only the hinges, hold the door in place. Asking for one commandment greater than the others, the scribe receives an answer from Jesus of two commandments, as it were, two hinges, upon which the whole door hangs and swings. Two hinges which, when they swing the door, open the way for us to enter into a life characterized by all the other commandments. Jesus tells the scribe, and he now tells us, that there are these two commandments which are greater than all the others, because these two make possible the life of the children of God. These two commandments are the distinctive characteristics of the citizens of God's kingdom, of the disciples of Jesus, of those who have been transformed by God's gracious work within them. Love, it turns out, is not far from the kingdom of God. Indeed, we could say, love is the kingdom of God. Jesus gives the right answer. I don't suppose we should be surprised at that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The first commandment. What then is this hinge to love God? In a recent book, a professor and bishop, Tom Wright, has offered the following on love: utter and delighted seriousness in the distinct otherness of the one loved. In the distinct otherness of the one loved. That God is distinctly different from us, we learn from the word holy. God is not the same as we are. Our human instinct, however, is to remake God in our image, to make a God like us, or even worse, to make a God who will do all the things that we like. But this is not love for God. To love God is to know him. The commandment is designed to establish a relationship between a God who is unique and incomparable and all of us, a people who love him. Unique is a rare designation. I am a man, but that is not a unique description. I live in Scotland, again, not by any means a unique description. In the category of God, there is only one entry. This God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who is Jesus. He is the only entry uniquely in the category of God. We humans delight to call others God or gods, but they are not. We are mistaken. Do you begin to see what it is to love God? He is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We don't love him unless we know him in this unique way, the only one. That this one God has created me, that he knows me, is an utter delight to me. Remember, utter and delighted seriousness at the distinct otherness of the beloved. It is an amazing, overwhelming joy that this God, this unique God, loves me and you. No other beside him, none before him, none behind, none to the right or the left, none above or below. Him alone is our God. Perhaps you've been with the same bank since you first got your account when you left school and got a job. If you want, you can change. Perhaps you've shopped at the same supermarket for years, but if you want, you can change. Perhaps you've voted for the same party at election after election, but as we saw in December, many people can change. Football teams? Maybe you think you can't possibly change the team you support. Well, sometimes it happens. You can change all of these things. But you can't change from this God to any other God because there's no other God to change to. That restlessness which diverts our eyes from this one God is not love. Imagining the grass may be greener somewhere else is not love. Love is resting deeply with utter contentment upon the one who has made himself known as our God and our Father. The one who first chose us and loved us before we even knew him. That's what love for God is. Before love is a feeling, before that, it begins as a commitment, a decision. I decide to love you, my God and my Father, my Saviour and my King. I decide to know you as the only God. You cannot substitute religious duties for this. You can't put in its place offerings or sacrifices. This love, this commitment to God as he is in himself, is more than anything else. And just like a hinge opening a door, all things flow from it. On this hinge, the door swings, and we find ever open before us a welcome into the presence of God, a welcome into an ever-growing experience of God loving us more than we could ever imagine. This is the first commandment. Love the Lord your God. Second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Just to clear the ground for a minute, some have tried to suggest that love is only love if it's directed to another, to some other person or object. Now, I understand that we want to prevent selfishness, but that's just not going to work. If it's wrong to love yourself, then Jesus is wrong in his description of this second commandment. Jesus is wrong to claim that you are to love your neighbor in the same way as you love yourself. It turns out, in fact, love for another implies, requires that you love yourself. Love your neighbor. We know from the famous parable that our neighbor is whomever requires help from us. A beaten man by the roadside. Someone trapped in the hunger of food poverty. A victim of human trafficking. Those suffering most from climate change, from war violence, those who most need international development aid. These ones are our neighbour. love your neighbor. Over the years, too many have abused religious observance to excuse them from sacrificial love for neighbor. I'm too busy praying to have time to feed the hungry. I'll get very worked up about how our religion is practiced, but I'll hardly notice the homeless ones I walk past to hurry into my warm sanctuary. Loving neighbour, it turns out, is our religious duty. Wonder if you've ever noticed that the word love does not feature in any of the Ten Commandments. If you want to check up, it's Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. You can check it after the service or when you get home. But the word love doesn't appear. Now, I'm not saying that these commandments are bad or are wrong. Love is implied in every commandment, but it's never made explicit. The Ten Commandments are measurable and therefore limited. You shall not murder. Well, I can measure that. Have I ever murdered anyone? No. It is limited. You shall not murder. That's all that's prohibited in some readings of the commandment. Sometimes wonder if that's what this scribe asking the question was hoping for. Now Jesus would say to him, here's a commandment which was measurable and limited. But Jesus doesn't do that. He demonstrates that the two greatest commandments are without measure and without limit. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love is seeking the best good of the other. Think about that one for a while. Seeking the best good of the other. What's that hymn we often sing? Each other's needs to prefer. That's love right there. How can we ever be finished seeking the best good of the other? How do you measure that? How do you know that you've, well, I've done it, I can do something else? There will always be a neighbor who is lacking in good to whom you can offer love and service. What is there that we hold dear, so dear that we refuse to sacrifice it for the best good of another? Before love for neighbor is a feeling, it is a commitment, a decision to seek their best good. When we say, I will love my neighbor, we are choosing them and committing to them in a powerful way. On this door, this hinge, the door swings. Choosing to live a life characterized by love for neighbor swings open a door which enters us into the life of the children of God. If you ever wonder, how are you to follow Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? This is the answer. Love your God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Everything else follows from that. On this table here, we see set before us love gifts of bread and wine, which display for us the great love of Jesus for us. His complete devotion and commitment to you and to me, which we call love. Jesus loves God, his Father. Did he not pray, not my will, but yours? Jesus loves you, the other, his neighbor. We believe it was for us. He hung and suffered there. Jesus says to us, to all of us, follow me. And this is where he will lead you, to these two greatest commandments. Follow Jesus into the love of God, knowing God as your Father and delighting in his great love for you. Follow Jesus into love for your neighbor, giving of yourself, all of yourself, sacrificing all that you are for the best good of your neighbor. This is what it is to follow Jesus. On these hinges, the door swings. Don't we sing in that hymn, he only could unlock the door? Jesus, in his love for God, in his love for you, has unlocked and swung open the door on these two hinges. You can come in because of Jesus' love for you. Jesus says, follow me. As you love God, as you love your neighbor, as your life is characterized by these two commandments, do you know what you do? You swing the door open just a wee bit for someone else, that they might see something of God's love, that they might see something of Christ's love for them. Because you love God and you love your neighbor. Following Jesus, we get to swing the door just a wee bit for someone else. Might be a member of your family, might be someone at work, might be someone you play golf with, or whatever it is you do. Love God, love your neighbor. Show the world a different way of life, which can't be measured or limited or controlled, but responds to the overwhelming love of God for us. Love God, love your neighbor. You are not far from the kingdom of God. You are welcomed in. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we want to be overwhelmed again by your love for us. We want to be amazed that you, the God who created all things, should fix your love on us. And we want to respond to that love and to love you as you are, our one God, our one Father, our one Savior. And we want to follow the example of Jesus and learn what it is more and more to love our neighbor. We've started. We've taken many steps on this path, but we want to take more. To love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Fill us with your Spirit for these things, that our lives might be characterized by love. Hear our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.